Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, what is the day, the 10th?
Yep. May Day.
Yeah. Well, no, May Day was the first.
With the zero in the end. What happened on May Day? What's the holiday that they ring the pole?
Yeah, that's the Maypole.
The Maypole. For May Day. For May Day. Yeah. And somehow they get the kids to take the rope or something? Or and they
run around in a circle. And kids running around in a circle is nothing new.
And adults too, by the way. So, you know. So this weekend I went to the Fort Lauderdale Air and Sea Show. Kind of a cool weekend. Saw so Harrier, I took the boat out there. So they have about a 2 mile long north to south and a mile east to west area in the ocean that you can't go because the planes are flying over there and close to the water. So they had, you know, all these various jets flying overhead. I mean, these loud, you know, crazy jets, the Harrier, a bunch of small planes are doing all sorts of tricks. On Saturday evening, I went to something called Galley Wars, where a friend of mine actually put on a charity event, 5 different galleys from the ships that were in. There was a bunch of Navy ships in, and all the sailors came, and they competed in a competition, a cooking competition against each other, all the chefs from the various ships. So I was hanging out with, I walked up to a guy, I'm like, you look important. He's like, yeah, I'm the XO. I'm like, oh. So that was kind of interesting, spending time with him, but kind of a cool weekend with the air show. You would have liked it.
I probably would have.
Yeah, very cool. Let me tell you about the markets a little bit real quick because we have lots to cover today in the show. Employment numbers last week came out. They were down to the 160,000 level, which is not terrible, except for the fact that about 205,000 were expected. Unemployment rates at 5%. And markets, when this number came out at 8:30 in the morning on Friday, markets were like, uh-oh, kind of ramped straight down. And then, I don't know, sometime, I guess, about 1 o'clock or so, everybody's like, maybe it's not the worst thing in the world. And, you know, maybe this is going to be kind of dovish and the Fed won't actually raise now. And so things got better and markets finished up the day ever so slightly higher. It was down about 0.7%, finished the day higher by 0.3%. Yesterday was kind of just a murky day, not much going on. And I don't know exactly what happened today, to be honest with you. But markets were kind of swishing around a little bit. China was up a little bit last night after being down 2.5%. And Japan's healing after that massive, you know, downstroke it took the last couple of weeks. Dow Jones up 222 points today.
Yeah, I found that peculiar.
I mean, the only thing I could think of is that maybe the numbers out of China, this, you know, you have 12 numbers that look like crap. Markets are like, one number is like, oh, the inflation rate has stabilized. Ramp the market. You know, I mean, it's crazy. And I know one guy that's not happy, by the way. Carl Icahn.
Oh, no. How did he get burned this time?
Carl Icahn. More bearish than ever. 150% net short. 150% net short position in his portfolios.
Oh, I didn't know this.
Yep. That was, the most recent run on his portfolio and the view of his, fund of, you know, that he's managing and whatever particular one they're looking at, had him at 150% net. So he's levered to the hilt on the short side, expecting an immediate and nasty market crash.
Well, I think he's wrong.
Well, he's definitely not right at this point. I mean, he was possibly right for about 10 minutes, and markets came in a little bit. Listen, markets have come down from where they were a little bit, but still, they are. He's clearly not on the winning side. I mean, he's looking actually for something, it seems, catastrophic.
Well, there's a possibility there's going to be something catastrophic, but there's no indication that it's going to be tomorrow.
Yeah. So he's going to have to sit on this, and who knows
what's going to happen. I mean, it seems to me
that
if you're going to play that game of waiting for the thing to collapse, you see it, you do it when it collapses, and you miss a little bit on the top, but playing it this other way, I think he could get burned.
Yeah. Hey, what's going on? You have your pea popper on because you're popping your peas a little bit there.
Oh, I see what it is. No, it's me. It's my mask thing. The pea popper is like too close to the mic.
Yeah, because you're
popping. All right, I'll move back.
Yeah, thank you. Because I couldn't go on. I just couldn't. I wouldn't be able to function. So have you been, you're up in this, by the way, did you catch, you didn't catch this. Maybe your wife saw this, the sky show, the Borealis thingamajig.
Oh, you know, it's funny. She was up there and she says it was, I don't think so because she would have said something. I was just talking to her a little while ago.
Lisa Bettany, you know her, right?
Oh yeah. She's the one who does our voice.
Yes. And she does amazing photography.
Oh, she's a good photographer.
Which most of the pictures with her in it, and she's beautiful. And yeah, she's got a great app out there, and everybody should check that out. She's a great person overall. She took some pictures that were just beautiful.
Of Borealis?
Yeah, just beautiful.
She's up in Victoria.
Yeah. I think she was in Seattle. Oh, no, that was something else. That was a different one I looked at. Yeah, she's up in Victoria. I saw some other ones that were, I guess, in Seattle or something, too. I don't know. So I guess both sides see it. But speaking of Canada, you've been tracking these wildfires?
The ones in Alberta.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to get us a little rain or something, maybe back it off. Yeah, it is terrible.
But the big problem, this is one of the reasons that oil has been climbing again. The threat that about 600,000 barrels per day are taken off, have been taken offline.
Yeah.
Because of this. And
Alberta is the oil capital of Canada.
10 to 15% of Alberta has been obliterated.
Yeah, yeah,
that's a lot.
That seems a little high, but I know a lot of it's been burnt.
And the big concern was that the fire was going to get to the oil sands and beyond into the inventory areas and where they keep all the excess capacity, and that would just totally, I guess, from a person who's bullish on oil, that would have been like great. You know, oh man, I hope that thing explodes.
Let's hope the place burns to the ground.
How great would that be? Keep on going. Get those winds going and fan the flames as best as possible. But, you know, obviously there was a drop-off yesterday on the oil on this that thought, that, man, this is temporary. It's not going to hit it. But then today, oil's kind of just, for no apparent reason again, just started climbing. This is with all of the excess production being bantered around and the new Saudi, last week the Saudi energy, I guess the energy minister was fired. You don't hear that very often.
And no, and it usually doesn't get reported to the Western media.
Right. He was fired. He let go. God knows where he's going and what he's doing. But,
was he fired for?
They don't say that. He was let go. He left for, personal reasons. Personally, because if he didn't leave, he'd be killed. But, The new guy steps in, and this guy's been pretty much all about how there needs to be alternative fuels, and we need to get Saudi Arabia not so reliant on just oil and this and that. And I'm thinking, well, that's not so bullish. That sounds like he doesn't care what the price of oil is.
It's very peculiar.
Yeah. So oil at first was, again, yesterday was down on that and down on the fact that there was less fire blowing throughout Canada, even this Libya issue kind of settled down. And today, all of a sudden, up 3%. Crazy numbers. Well, Krispy Kreme. Krispy Kreme, you know those guys?
Yeah, the donut guys.
Yep, they're being bought, going private, by the same company that took Keurig Green Mountain private.
Oh, really?
And I don't understand.
So they got the coffee. They got the donuts.
They got the coffee. They had the coffee.
Is it the police benevolent association that bought this?
I don't know, but it seems to me that they're after companies that are having difficulty because Krispy Kreme has been having some problems. I mean, who wants to buy a bread a fat soaked piece of bread with sugar on it these days? Isn't that what it is?
Yeah.
I mean, it's delicious.
It turns rock hard in about an hour after it's cooked.
I mean, they're delicious. They're great.
Yeah, as long as they're warm.
Do they still do the thing where they flash the light and you get free donuts?
There's one Krispy Kreme in this area. I've never been raised around them. And the one that's around here is so far away, I have no idea. I know nothing of Krispy Kreme.
Yeah. That's why you're in such good shape and you have such a slim physique.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, they're being bought and going private. Jab Beecha, which is a turnaround private equity firm who bought a bunch of these kind of companies. They got a whole bunch of like breakfast and sweeties and all sorts of other things that they're going. So kind of interesting. So you remember last week I was complaining about my Twitter followers. And you chuckled.
I did.
You said, oh. So I started getting, and I yelled at everybody, you got to follow me, Andrew Horowitz. You got to follow me on Twitter. What is going on here? I feel like an idiot and all this. And lo and behold, got a bunch of Twitter followers.
How many?
Well, what's interesting is the first few days they were coming in a little bit here and there, a few hundred or whatever. I don't know what happened on Saturday. I can't tell you what happened on Saturday, but I went from where I was at 7,500 to 11,500.
Maybe somebody felt sorry for you and bought you some followers.
Yeah, you think that's the case?
Could be.
Can you
do that? It's happened.
It's funny because I saw that there was a couple of followers. I don't know. I was kind of thumbing through Twitter and I saw that something pop up that like buy Twitter followers is following you now or something like that. Or Twitter.
It could be the guys who sell Twitter followers gave you a bunch as a sample.
Maybe they're listeners of ours and they felt bad.
That could be.
And if it is the case.
I didn't notice that I got any more. I would have gone to 109, but the real Dvorak is the code there.
I don't understand what happened. I did put up a video that was kind of cool. I put a video. There was a manatee in my backyard.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see the video?
No.
No, that was
a manatee in your backyard? Was it damaged?
In the water. And I have a canal in my backyard. Oh, water in my backyard. And it was just hanging out. And so I was put some water in there. I put some lettuce. It was just hanging out. This big old floppy, gigantic cow.
They're huge.
Yeah. Just enormous.
They have a funny physiology. They have the lungs go across their back.
Yeah, they love fresh water. So you put fresh water hose in the water and they just come up there and just shove they honestly take the end of the hose and they put it like they absorb it in their mouth and drink gallons of it.
Really?
Yep.
So you hosed it, you gave him the hose?
Yeah, so what happened was across the canal, there was a guy, and he had a hose in the water, and the manatee was just hanging out there on his back, drinking and stuff. And then he went away, and then I put the hose in the water, and the manatee came right over, I guess smelled the fresh water or something, and put the hose in the water. And there's a picture. You'll see the picture. It took this floppy mouth of his, like a walrus mouth kind of, without the teeth. Yeah. And it just kind of like just went blip around the hose and just sucked it in and just drank.
Wow.
Yeah, They love that. And then... by the end of the day, there was three manatees. I guess he told his friends or something. There was three. Hey, there's lettuce and fresh water. Come on in, gang.
Lettuce.
They like lettuce. They like, I threw some celery in there. They like green vegetables. I think they're vegetarian.
The vegans.
Yeah. But then I was told also that Florida Game and Wildlife may get pissed off if they see my video. They don't want you feeding them or giving them.
Because people feed them bad stuff.
I don't know. But they eat pretty much garbage. But anyway, check out the videos on Twitter. Cool manatee floating around there. About a 30-second video of me kind of putting the hose down there. But anyway, thanks for your follow. Andrew Horowitz is the Twitter handle. I don't know if we can get another 4,000 by next week, but that would be great. If you are out there and you happen to own those buy Twitter followers, I guess that was nice. Thank you. I'm hoping that wasn't the case. Hoping there was just everybody was finally...
Did you go the way you can tell?
How can you tell?
You go and click on followers, yours. You go to your homepage.
Yeah.
And then you click on followers, and it lists all the followers you have.
Yeah.
And so you just, and it starts at the, and it's chronological. So if you go all the way to the bottom, if you could, you will have the first people that followed you, and then all the way, so it's chronological.
Mm-hmm.
So you click on that, and this newest first is last in, first out. You start looking at the followers that just recently followed you, and you can figure out which one. It'll be all the new ones. It'll be right at the top. And you go through them. And if you find that they're all from the Philippines, India, and parts of Southeast Asia, then you know that you've been given a bunch of free followers that are probably never heard of you.
Yeah, I get you. All right, let's talk about Brazil. There's some interesting things happening there. There's the potential impeachment of President Dilma Rousseff.
Yes.
And there's the lower house, I guess the equivalent of their maybe Supreme Court or something, they called for a new vote on the impeachment. And they also, because he discarded the old approved vote. So what happened was the meaning of this was that potentially the vote that was going to happen will be discarded and that she'd stay in office. Brazil was not happy. Now, I don't know if maybe I'm just crazy here. I guess maybe it's also, you know, some of these emerging markets. But if this president knows everybody just hates them, this calls for the you know, to sue them, her, and you know the impeachment proceedings are taking up all sorts of time. Don't you think they'd step down? Well, that just doesn't happen.
You know, the Brazilian politics in Brazil is just mind-boggling. I mean, she's everybody's favorite. Everyone loved her and the preceding president. And now they hate the two of them because they're somehow involved in the Petrobras scandal.
Yep.
Even though it's questionable. I think the whole thing is unusual.
Well, the Brazilian ETF took a smack on that news. It was about $27.60. It went down to $26.20, which is about a 4% drop in moments. Recovered a bit. Mm. But we'll see what's going to happen with this. This is EWZ is the symbol. By the way, you can follow all of these charts and all the information we talk about on dhunplug.com on the show notes for this particular episode. Microsoft, you know, the tech giant, the big Microsoft that has this wonderful website and browser and operating system and trying to get really into China, providing all sorts of content, will be shutting down MSN website in China as of June 7th. But they're deeply committed to China. They're going to remain deeply committed, and they're going to stay that way. So it's interesting that there is going to be another drop-off. I mean, you know, Google had problems in China for years. Baidu is one of the big search engines in there. You got Sina, Sohu, kind of in that whole internet space. But Baidu being the Google of China. And I guess they just couldn't get any traction.
I have no idea. It could have been part of a censorship program. I don't know. The whole thing with China and these companies is somewhat mystifying.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting story, and I want to talk to you about this. So there's a story that's making the rounds that Facebook workers routinely suppress news stories of interest to conservative readers. So in the influential and trending news section, they kind of like went through and said, well, this is maybe on the Republican and conservative side. We're not going to post that into the trending news area. Stories about CPAC meetings, Mitt Romney, Rand Paul, and other things were kind of, not in there. And this is a story that was, I guess, you know, confirmed by a variety of different Facebook workers. Now, of course, Facebook denies this. But that doesn't seem like it would be something that is so... I mean, you have a bunch of people that are censoring or editing the data, and they don't want the right-wing stuff in there to go up the ladder of the trending news, and I don't think that's something that is so crazy that can't happen.
It probably is happening.
Right.
There's no evidence that Facebook is... You know, Facebook is... I don't know who... uses Facebook. I guess the broad...
What do you mean you don't know who uses Facebook? 300 billion people or so.
Yeah, and it's a broad swath. It's like everyone from my wife to kids.
Yeah. I see my wife always looking
like
at Facebook.
My wife.
Constantly looking at pictures, clicking on the pictures. What is this one doing? What is that one doing? Who cares? I mean, seriously, who cares?
You're talking to the wrong guy. Because I don't have a Facebook account. I just don't see any reason for it.
But Facebook is not... They never said that they wouldn't post. I mean, listen, if Facebook, let's go to a different level here. Let's say there was a trending story about something horrific that was very objectionable and it was in very poor taste. Should they let that go in terms of their trending news section? Or isn't the job of the people that are involved in the trending and all that to maybe oversee that, prevent certain things that may be very... maybe, you know, X-rated or something else, maybe, you know, hold that back. I don't think that as a company they have any requirement to just post everything.
They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, exactly.
In fact, a lot of people are fearful that they're going to take a political stance and push Hillary, and they feel the same way about Google.
Well, they're definitely not pushing Trump, either of those companies.
No.
I mean, there's not, you know, that's not going to happen. But so you don't have any objection to, if this is true, you have no objection to this happening.
Oh, I have plenty of objection to it happening, but there's nothing I can do about it. And they're within their rights.
Yeah. What I meant by objection is that you don't think they've done anything that is like legally or, yeah. I mean, Facebook, listen, Facebook is not a place that we go for, well, maybe some people do, but it's not the place as a company that we go to for necessarily to get our opinion, right? I guess the problem is these days people can't make their own opinion. They have to absorb it from somewhere else.
Yes.
That's the problem, right?
Yes, I think so.
So the fact that they did suppress the information, and because they are trying to impart what is the social norms, what are the social and political things to obey and abide by, I guess the point is that maybe they are wrong for doing so, because then it doesn't give everybody the right. You know, they're just promoting the whole idea. Yeah, they're promoting the whole point that nobody should be thinking. We should just be reacting to following what they say. So, you know, Facebook for president. That'd be kind of interesting. What if Mark Zuckerberg ran for president? He's got a lot of people that like him because of Facebook.
That would be great.
How great would that be?
I think it'd be fantastic.
Is he old enough?
Sure. Well,
I don't think he's old enough, is he?
Yeah, I think he's... Mark. I don't know how old he is offhand. Look at him up. Let's take a look. Go to...
Go to Facebook.com. Zuckerberg, he was born in... He's 31. Doesn't he have to be 35?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's born in White Plains. He's 5'7". Net worth is a mere $35.7 billion. He has a couple of siblings, Randy, Ariel, and Donna. Let's see here. Went to an academy as a youngster. Went to Ardsley High School. And, yep, there he goes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Zuckerberg is a hypocrite. Facebook has destroyed the open web. International Business Times. All sorts of interesting things happening here. Senate Republicans pile into Facebook backlash in a letter to Mark Zuckerberg. They call him a computer programmer and a philanthropist. One of the world's youngest billionaires. He was a computer programmer at 12.
Yeah, well, more power to him.
Yeah. All right, moving along. Enough Facebook.
Till he runs for president.
Yep. Hey, guess what we got? Time for the DH Unplugged closest to the pin reveal of who won the Domino's Pizza Challenge.
Yeah, I really screwed that one up.
Yep. Well, Domino's Pizza fell off a cliff. Let me tell you. So then a couple of the other pizza companies had some problems afterwards. But Domino's Pizza, we have the close to the pin winner. It was pretty close. As a matter of fact, I think I came in second. But I just took a kind of a support line and a round number and just edged it up a little bit. Final stock price, $119.31. And I think when we first started this, it was like in the 130s or maybe the 140. Actually, it's probably in the 140s.
We pushed it. We both went on the low side.
Yep, exactly.
But I didn't expect it to go as low as it went.
Yep. The average price per entry for all of the contestants, about 85 or 90 people, $130.91. And Greg S. won. You're supposed to be the sound effects. I don't understand. We've practiced this so many times.
What was the sound? I keep forgetting what the sound effect was.
Yeah, all right, that's good. John has these things handy. That's good. It was Greg S. won 48 cents away at 0.4%. John was about 4.7% away. I was 0.6%. Yeah, it was unbelievable, huh?
Yeah.
So we're sending out a shirt to Greg, and you can join. We actually have right now running Intel. Intel's a little bit longer. It's going to be actually about 3 weeks in length. As a matter of fact, as you are hearing this right now, we are coming to the close of one entries. We opened this up last week. We told you about it. We tweeted it. We talked about it. We put it on the show last week. So we had a little bit of an extra time period that Intel was open for entries, and it's going to be at the end of the month. So we'll talk about each and every week who's close, so we can look at it a different way, not just who won, but kind of the countdown of where people are. So stay tuned next week for some updates on Intel. Some cool shirts and things we're giving away. It's kind of cool. All right. Now, this is something that you and I talked about, and you're going to be mad after I tell you the story.
Okay.
Fossil, the watch company. Now, what did we say about watches?
Fossil, the watch company.
What did we say?
Okay, what did we say? We said that it's doomed.
Doomed. That is doomed. And the reason was that nobody's wearing watches as much anymore. They're using their smartphones. They have also the, if they are wearing watches, they're wearing whether it's a Fitbit, whether it's a Apple iWatch or something else, but probably not just some kind of a watch, plain vanilla watch, and not a cheap one. Probably going for the much more expensive ones. So all that, that whole category of watches in the midsection, from Movado down, doomed.
Down to Swatches.
Yep. Stock came out with earnings, awful. Saw zero for the next quarter. Saw 0 to 0.15%. Estimates were for 58 cents. See revenues decreasing 2 to 5% for the year. Stock down 25%. I think it actually finished after hours down 29% after the close.
Hmm.
So we're mad because we should have had that.
Yeah, we should have shorted it.
Yeah, but we did. You know, there are people that probably did listen to us for a while and were like, understood what we said and hopefully went along with it. I get emails all the time, people like, oh, what you talked about is great. Thanks so much for this and that. I haven't got a lot of hate mail yet, so I think things are good. Unless the hate mail people.
Well, luckily, unlike a lot of stock shows of any sort, we're not reluctant to short.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think that that will prevent the hate mail because there's nothing worse than somebody telling you to buy into a downturn.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking about a downturn, after the close this evening, Office Depot and Staples, the merger has been voted against by the FTC.
Oh.
It's over.
That's unusual.
Uh-huh. But, I mean, who's left in the office supply business? Wouldn't this be a monopoly? Well, it's not a monopoly because you could buy from other places. But for whatever reason, the FTC said, you know, this is a no-go. So,
really? So it's okay, though, for Western Digital and Seagate to buy up all the competition. No, there's two of them. Yeah, I guess if there's two, that's two. Enough.
Exactly. There's two. Now, this would only be one. Now, meanwhile, Office Depot and Staples are office supply companies, technology companies. I mean, they're supply companies, various things, paper. But you know what? There's a lot of other places you can buy it. I can't, you know, if you, you go to, I mean, 100 places you can buy the stuff, whether it's Walmart.
Amazon.
Walmart.
Walmart, yes. Target has a bunch of
stuff. Yeah, you can buy all this stuff at all these places. You can buy a lot of things at Kinko's or whatever it's called now, FedEx Office, right? A lot of the same, you know, paper, you can get printing done. You could probably buy staples and pens and things like that. Anyway, Staples is halted. Office Depot down 29% tonight after this. Because I guess they didn't have this. What do they have? Staples, of course, came out with a commentary that while it's over, we are going to work on plans to increase shareholder value. Like, I'm thinking to myself, why are they waiting for that? You know why? Because they just say that to hopefully save their skins because they know their stock is going to plunge.
Yeah, definitely.
So those are key words. Another company today, Marketo, which is a it's a company that really cool business. I call it like a Constant Contact, but on steroids. And it's very expensive. Very expensive to use their business intelligence and programs. Well, they announced that we are now looking for strategic alternatives. Well, we announced that we're looking to possibly look for suitors. We're working with a company, I think it's worth Morgan Stanley now. Stock's up 20% on that news. And by the way, while we're on the subject of stocks, remember that I shorted stamps and I was like pretty committed to it? And then it ran up and I said, okay, we're out of this thing?
Yeah.
Well, it ran up to about 110, came down to about 85 or so after that. Earnings come out this morning. Stock runs up $18. By the end of the day, it was down $5. 22% round turn.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a day trader's dream come true if he hits it, right?
Yeah. I didn't hit it. I wish I hit it.
Didn't. Well, now, what was his name? Go back to this. What was the other company that went up 20% when they said they're going to do a deal?
Marketo. M-K-T-O, I believe it is.
Marketo. I never heard of them.
Yeah, they're pretty big. They're not even big, but M-K-T-O. Marketo. Yep. Let me see here. Yep. Somebody of Marketo. I think it's how you pronounce it. Marketo.
I don't know.
But basically, this is a company that, let me find exactly what, if I can find this here. Let's go to, click it away. Okay, I got it. So, let's go back. M-K-T-O. So they came out with a story that they're going to, you know, do some kind of a deal. It's up 24% on this news and after hours up another 2%. They're cloud-based marketing solutions for organizations ranging from small to medium, engage in modern portfolio, modern relationship marketing, builds and markets engagement marketing platforms along with applications. They do, you can use it inside of Salesforce, mobile engagement, social marketing, digital advertising, et cetera, et cetera. Salesforce is a competitor. Constant Contact is a competitor. Calidus, HubSpot, Responsys. So there's a bunch of interesting names out there. But they were up. So, but these are key words you need to look for. The strategic alternatives, you know, looking to see if we can provide additional shareholder value, which translates to increasing dividends, doing bonds, and then doing buybacks. That's what that whole thing translates to. You know, so you have to kind of read between the lines of what they're talking about. A lot of times when companies are, and by the way, just to, let me just go back for a second. This Office Depot and Staples deal, you know, the fact is, if you thought about it, shorting it would have been a great deal because, you know, this has been going on for so long, and how much better could it have gotten? How much more could you have been burned if it's a merger going to happen? Is it just going to, when it happened, maybe it went up 5, 6%, maybe? Because all this was built in.
No, it's all built in.
It's all built in. Anyway, watch for those kind of comments. Those
I'm looking at this operations key statistics.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got profit margin minus 34%, operating in margin minus 32%, return on assets minus 19%, return on equity, which is a big deal number, minus 65%.
That's not good.
None of this is
good. ROE is not good. That's not a good number.
No, that's a very bad number.
Yep.
Net income, blah, blah, to common minus $71 million. Total cash, $107 million. Book value, $2.
Yep.
The company is $26, and the book value is not even... This doesn't look like a great
company. I never liked this company, and I always thought they were going to be a pile of junk for the longest time ever. This could be an interesting shorting opportunity here.
That's what I'm thinking. That's why I'm going through these numbers.
Nothing good about the numbers. And now you have a built-in premium in this deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And who's going to want to, you know, if, I don't know about you, but are you going to go into this company and be like, yeah, I want to buy this company for a big premium because they're losing all sorts of money.
In every which way.
Yep. Market cap is what? $1.2 billion. How do these companies get so large with such crappy numbers? Terrible. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is amazing. They do $209 million in sales.
Yeah, but they're losing all of the money.
Yeah, well, they're obviously costing them a fortune to do that much sales.
Yep. Yep.
Total cash, $107, which I guess is why the enterprise value is less than it looks. Let me take one more look at one more thing. What is the thing competitors...
I don't know who buys them, by the way. Is it Salesforce, maybe? But Salesforce, but they wouldn't buy them because, first of all, the price is kind of high, $1.2, $1.3 billion. But also, that would then be in competition with some of their other product lines, and they get a lot of business from the other product lines and the other vendors. So, is a Constant Contact going to buy them? I don't think so.
No, God, no.
I mean, does a Microsoft buy them? Maybe, but
Microsoft's dumb enough to buy them.
But what do they get out of it? You know. Microsoft, first of all, doesn't have a CRM suite. They have something they call their CRM, but it's not. Outlook is definitely not. I can't even look at Outlook. I never use Outlook. It's too confusing to me. It doesn't keep the threads the way I like it. It's just crazy. People are always searching for things. And I think, what are you doing that for? It doesn't link with the client record, right? But anyway, I don't know. Maybe I don't know who. I don't know who's going to buy them.
I'll put it down on my list for short.
All right, we'll get there in a minute. All right. Disney came out with their earnings. By the way, first earnings miss in 5 years. ABC and their ABC Go and their ESPN was down pretty hard.
Yeah, ESPN. Yeah, I'm going to tell you what's going on.
What's going on?
They're playing soccer.
Oh, boy.
ESPN's got more soccer than ever before on their networks.
Well, in some countries, that would be
nobody good. Cares about what's going on in the British soccer scene.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not a soccer country. Let's just face it.
I don't know why they're playing so much soccer. I mean, I could go on almost any day. Oh, there's another big game between, you know, and they're playing up. Oh, Leicester City won the British club, whatever it is. and it's a big deal. Let's talk about that. Nobody cares.
You know, I would be
nothing but soccer. And then if it's not soccer, it's women's basketball.
See, if they had curling on, it would even be better.
Curling is better. It's more interesting. At least it's entertaining.
Yeah. Darts.
Darts would be better.
Yeah, I think. Darts.
No, they got nothing but soccer. Soccer, soccer, soccer.
Not so it's good.
Okay, fine. I guess, you know, I mean, most people will actually listen to 24-hour, 7-day-a-week chatter about football, American football. That's not a problem. But no, they got to put soccer on. And then they have people discussing it like anyone cares. No offense to the Europeans listening. Oh, you guys, you Americans are... It's one of these things where I think comes about because you have, oh, you Americans are provincial. You should be, the world sport is soccer.
It's such a long game. The only thing I like about soccer is when the guy screams, goal, goal, goal. You know,
that's not about soccer. That's about that guy.
Yeah, it's about the guy. Yeah, I find him entertaining. But the rest of it is, I mean, hockey is kind of interesting. Hockey's good because you get a good old fight going on. There's checking going on and all that. Soccer's like a tame, slow hockey game.
Very slow.
Yeah. I don't know what everybody loves it so much about it.
Well, apparently they don't love it so much that they can make ESPN numbers go up.
Well, here in the United States, everywhere else in the world loves it.
Fine. Let everyone else in the world watch it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I want to watch it.
Yep. Well.
Americans are against this sort of thing.
ESPN, you listen up here. This is what's going on. Be smart. All right, we got a lot of things to cover here. Amazon, letting people post videos to its website and earn money from advertising, royalties, and other sources, putting the company in more direct competition to Google's YouTube. They're crazy. Amazon passed $700. Now there's calls for it to go to $1,000. Where did I hear that before? But it's possible. Wow. It's possible.
Oh, it is possible. People are crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this. This is fascinating. So if you're listening, listen up right now. The Panama Papers, we're well aware of this, right?
Yes, we are.
There is a database now that is live.
Right. Went live a couple days ago.
Did you see that database?
No, I haven't gone to it.
So I have a link there.
Oh, good.
Right inside the show notes on DH Unplugged, on this is a, right in the middle of the section when you open it up. Click that link.
Have you gone to it yet?
Yes, yes.
Looked up your neighbors?
First of all, there's nobody. Oh, now you actually have to read the statement below. I'm going to say submit. There is no one in the United States.
I think we use some other firm mostly.
there's nothing in the United States.
It's like the number 5 company doing this stuff.
But you can look at this. I'm just trying to see if there's any United States. Oh, there is the United States. Here we go. Search. There are some linked to the United States. So if you click it like Wellington Capital Markets, and if you click their names, if you go through this little process, it shows you a really cool connection chart of who's involved with what it's linked to, when its activity started, where it's registered. Like Wellington has a shareholder of Clearway who's involved with Wellington, and there's Anna Firpo de Avendano and to involve with that, and you can kind of like separate all this and click on this stuff. Very cool. You seeing that?
Yes, dynamite.
Yeah. All sorts of information down below about it. If you keep going, the power players you can click on, and you can see like who around the world is involved in what. It doesn't give you all the details, but then there's some other things on here. Great site. Really just cool as can be how they put this together. Offshoreleaks.com or something like that. But anyway, go to the link. I don't know if I got that right. So go to the link over on DH Unplugged and check that out. I think it's really cool. I don't know how no new U.S. names appeared. You and Adam had the idea that there was some kind of this was a CIA operation of some sort that revealed it, and they made sure there was no U.S. names first and then exposed this. Make U.S. look good.
We have a lot of suspicions about this.
Yeah. Send that to Adam. He'd like that, I think.
I guarantee he's probably searching as we speak.
See if his name came up on it, something maybe.
Yeah, you are supposed to look up your own name, that's for sure.
Yeah, the old days you would look up your own name on like Google and stuff. Now you look it up on the Panama Papers. funny. All right, listen, we have a big announcement. So there's a new ETF that just came live about 2 days ago, right? About 2 days ago? And it's called the Global X Millennials Thematic ETF. And what this is an ETF. It's a way of trying to attract money saying that, well, we know how big the millennials are and as a group. We know that they're spending money. We know that, but what are they spending money on? And if we know what they're spending money on, man, we should make some serious bucks on those stocks, right? That kind of how that plays out.
That would help.
So there's stocks like Facebook, LinkedIn, Amazon, Home Depot, Avalon Bay Communities, and Equity Residential, which is like, oh, well, they're going to be buying houses and smaller houses, living on the living in the rural areas, and you know, they're going to have maybe some apartments, et cetera. So all these, there's all these about 50 or 60 or 70 names inside this portfolio. And in my opinion, I'm like, oh my gosh, I've seen these things before. You know, we've seen different kinds of themes like this, whether it's
green.
Yeah, green energy. And we've seen like Y2K investing, and we've seen like investing only in companies that are socially responsible, and companies that only have women as directors in their companies, and all these kind of, what do you call these things? Schemes?
Yeah. What do you call them in general? Stupid.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought, and John and I spent some time thinking about, well, what can we do to challenge this idea? Because, you know, we got to have a little fun with this. So we came up with the DHOCI, which is the DH Old Codger Index Portfolio, to compete against this particular ETF, the Global X Millennials Thematic ETF. And we're challenging it. And what we're creating is an Old Codger portfolio, which is kind of like the antithesis of the Millennial ETF. It's going to have companies in there like DaVita, which is a dialysis company. I don't know how much further away from the millennials you can get than that, right?
That's pretty out there.
Sears. Millennials are not shopping at Sears.
No.
McDonald's.
The problem with Sears, of course, nobody else is. No,
yeah, that is a problem. But in fairness, we put it in there. McDonald's.
Yeah.
Altria, cigarettes and all. Kroger, which is like a food market. Everybody, they're all shopping at some natural place somewhere, you know, whether it's Toomey's or what's that other one that everybody showed? Trader Joe's?
Trader Joe's.
Right, they're all Trader Joe's. So we got Kroger. We have ExxonMobil. Of course, we want a stinky energy company in there. Tootsie Roll, which makes all sorts of candies and sweets and stuff like that that, you know, we're supposed to be staying away from because we only eat healthy. Goldman Sachs, of course, the big bad boy of the old one.
Absolutely. They have to be in there.
And about 17 or 18 different companies. So now what we're going to do is this. We're starting the performance. I think we're going to start it today, and we're going to take the average of these companies that we chose, and we're going to put the performance on average of these each and every day up on the DH Unplugged website. It's not going to be there yet. It's going to be there next week. We just came up with this, and we have to design a few little charts and graphs and things so you can track this. And basically, we're going to have the daily performance and the performance since inception against the Global X Millennials Thematic ETF. And we'll have a summary of it and all sorts of really cool things on there. What do you think?
I think this is the best idea you've ever come up with.
Really? I don't know about that.
Well, it's definitely, it's an eye catcher.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of compete with this. And what we'll do is we'll track this on a regular basis. You'll be able to see it over on DH Unplugged. We'll call it the DH. It's the DHOCI, DH Old Codger Index Portfolio. I think it may have a shot here, by the way.
I think it might beat the other thing.
I'm telling you. It definitely has a shot here to do something. I mean, these are old lines. It will just, listen, we'll see how either miserably it fails or how well it does, but it'll be kind of an interesting commentary on these thematic types of funds that are out there that get people to come in, all that. So we'll have an announcement on that. We'll put it on Twitter.
And if that works out, we'll do another one. Like instead of the green fund, we'll do the black fund.
Yeah, we'll just get coal companies.
Just oil companies.
Yeah, oil and coal companies.
Yeah, oil and coal.
We'll find. We'll
it's a good time to do it. It's buy low, sell high.
Yeah, you know what we'll do. Also, we'll do like there's like the Democratic funds or the free government type funds. We'll get just dictatorships. We'll invest in. You know, we'll get stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a counter program.
Yeah, exactly. We'll find all sorts of ones that we'll do. Let you know if there's a women's only CEOs. We'll find just the men.
Just well, that's an easy one to do.
Yeah, that's a lot more wide ranging. So anyway, we'll do that. Check that out. Coming soon to a DH Unplugged near you. And finally, before we get to our stocks here, hedge fund managers. So there was a big Ira Sohn conference last week. All these big muckety mucks show up and they talk about what they're shorting, what they're going long, what they're doing, what their best idea of the year, and all this good stuff. People pay a lot of money to do this. A friend of mine called me. He says, man, there's some lousy ideas and some lousy performance from these guys. And they're being paid some ridiculously high amounts of money. And they lost money for their investors last year. But the top in the industry had the best years ever, with the five men, just five guys, earning more than $1 billion each. In total, the 25 best paid hedge fund managers took home $13 billion, 10% more from the previous year, which I find really fascinating, by the way, because usually they have what's called a 2 and 20 fee schedule, which means they get paid 2% no matter what happens, plus 20% of your profits if they're over a certain benchmark. So while they may have gotten their 2%, they didn't get their 20, and they're going to be underwater for a while because their performance was so lousy. I just find it interesting that they got a lot more money last year. That means a lot more people put in money into the hedge funds, because otherwise you can't make that excess money.
Right.
But there's a chart here, or a table, I should say, if you click. I clicked twice. So here's the top fund managers' compensation for 2015. The number one is Ken Griffin from Citadel, who I think... there's some investigation going on about the trading practices as of today. $1.7 billion last year.
Not bad for a year's work.
Not bad, right? Then you got James Simons, Renaissance Technology, still 1.7. Ray Dalio, very, very, very bright guy. Bridgewater, $1.4 billion. $1.4 billion in 1 year. Is that like GDPs of small companies, countries?
Yeah.
Dave Tepper, Appaloosa, made 1.4. Izzy, England.
Got the right idea.
Yeah, these guys are going to. D.E. Shaw, David Shaw, 0.8. He made less than a billion.
Oh, he only made $800 million.
What a slacker.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, this guy, I don't even know if we should even mention some of these people here. Lowest guy on the list here of this top 10 was Christopher Hone from TCI Fund Management. He made $300 million. $300 million, just think about that for a second. That's a lot of scratch.
Well, it's enough to buy groceries, that's for sure.
I mean, you could do a lot of damage. I mean, after taxes, you're probably at, $200 million, let's say, assuming these hedge fund managers probably have all sorts of ways to write things. All right, but still, I'm sure their hedge funds buy them all sorts of things anyway, right? Aside from their salaries and their take home.
Yeah, they probably have a lot of perks like a jet.
Yeah, yes, exactly. $300 million. Man, that's impressive.
I'll tell you, this list should be passed around. And if you meet one of these guys, he's buying.
Yeah, no question about that. All right, let's get to the stocks. We covered a lot of things. Let's mention that, of course, you can follow myself on Twitter. Andrew Horowitz is the Twitter handle. The Real Dvorak is John's handle. And, of course, you can find all the information we talked about, including the DH Unplugged. We have some really cool things going on. We got the Close to the Pin competition. We got this new old Kaja portfolio going on. We really ratcheted up in 2016, didn't we?
Yep. Yeah. It's astonishing.
You know what it is? It's because of all the incredible amount of donations that come in that we can fund all this with.
Well, so far, that's not true.
That's not true at all.
No.
Okay. Let's see here. All right. Well, here's the bad news. First of all, this is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's nothing more than a game. We're not recommending anything. If you lose money, it's your tough luck. Sorry to say. I mean, we're not, in this kind of thing, we don't know, who you are. We're not making recommendations. So do your own homework. Was that harsh? Maybe too harsh?
Mm-hmm.
It was a little harsh. Sorry. Anyway, have fun with it like we do. But, here's the bottom line. All but one of our stocks have been stopped out. How do you like that?
Yeah, that's outrageous.
you had some things on for a long time. Since February, you had Southwest Airlines. And with all due respect to this, there's been a lot of volatility. You got some nice money. You made 15%. Actually, let me see if that's stopped out. I think that's... I should... recolor that. Love is stopped out. You made 15.29% on that. That's a beautiful thing. It's on Southwest.
Yeah, it was good.
Everything else, Restoration Hardware ended up 5%. Demandware up 18%. Sears Holding up 12%. Ring Central up 3%. Then we go down to the negative side of things. United Continental Holdings down 8. Solar City down 6. Now, by the way, this is a good example of why you have stops on things. SolarCity today is, it was, now just let's go through this for a second. SolarCity was at 26 on 5-4. So that was what? Last week? 2 weeks ago? Last week.
Mm-hmm.
It was stopped out at 25. Today, I know the price. I just want to get the exact price here. Let me just get this in. Today, it's at $17.82.
That's a great example of yes.
That's why you have stops. You know, because we stopped out at $25. You'd be, I mean, you're talking about 30% lower. It's pretty ugly. So we stopped out with a 6% loss, 6.5% loss, because we had that stop on the on this game that we play. But, you know, they came out with earnings and a few other things happened. I mean, they just got, just it was ugly.
Ugly.
Earnings were terrible. Dust was stopped out with a 6% loss. But now, meanwhile, that was a 15% stop on that. So what happened there was we were actually up at one point 20%. Or no, excuse me, we're up 10% at one point, 11%. Seagate Technology is still live, still out there, down 2%. And I got two picks for this week. I'm not
okay.
I'm not really. I got two picks this week. I'm not really like really jazzed up about either of these. C-Trip being one of them. They're coming out with earnings. They're the equivalent of Expedia, if you will, for China. Now, these companies have been all over the place. It's on support right now. Earnings seasonality has shown that this time of year. In the past, they have done really well. Maybe it's because they got a lot of bookings for the summer. And so I'm playing that game, the earnings seasonality game. Earnings are tomorrow or the next day. SolarEdge is a company that was on a list of ours that we have for a high growth and a quality company, high ROE, good margins and all that. It came off a list of ours about 2-3 weeks ago, something that we were looking at as a quality company to look at to buy. Well, they came out with earnings, and I think between that and the SolarCity numbers, they got hurt by it, so they were down 15%. But I'm looking for a bounce in this. Actually, bought it for client portfolios as well.
Okay.
So that's mine. So are you going to go with Marketo?
Yes, I want to do that.
MKTO. And this is going to be short.
Yes.
Okay, let's go here and go.
Oh, so I have a long.
Let me just find where you are here. This one here. Nope, that's not what I want. I want. Okay, what's the long?
Ozark Bank.
Really? Bank of the Ozarks?
Yes, exactly. OZRK.
Am I not mistaken, but that has seen a bit of a being beat up recently?
Yeah.
It really bad, right? Like the last few days?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So what's the thesis? Is it?
It's another insider buying. One of the directors is buying heavily at this low price, and that I'm guessing it's going to go up.
Is OZK?
OZRK.
Okay, let me put that in here. Control V. OZ. Yeah, this, I don't know what happened. There was some, was it an investigation? Was it the earnings? Something was not right.
Well, it dropped like a rock.
Bank of the Ozarks going into the game. This is episode, what, 312? And 312. I just kind of put this in here. This is, you can track, by the way, all of these stock picks over on DH Unplugged. Click on the button that says weekly stock picks. You have to do a little quick sign-up registration just to make sure we keep away the riffraff. And then you can track this and see how this is doing and when it stops out, some information about when the stops are, et cetera. So let me put this as a buy, this one. Control V.
I have another one.
You do?
This one is because two directors are buying into this company at this low price, which makes me think I should do a 15% on this. Actually, it's two different guys. I take it back. Three different guys buying heavily.
Really?
Well,
tell us. Really, tell us.
Not that heavily, but heavily enough.
And you're gonna buy this.
CBMX, CombiMatrix.
What is that? What do they do?
Medical labs research company.
CBMX.
A collapse from about $8 to I think it's about $3 and
$3.25, yeah.
$3.25.
Wow. So another two insiders buying this one.
Three
insiders buying this. This keeps on running up. Three
now insiders. I'm looking at the chart, and the thing that caught my attention is the it was sliding, and then it got a huge volume one day and pumped it up a little bit, and then it collapsed right there on the spot, which I'm always looking at as somebody knows what they're doing, bought a bunch of it. And then it continued on its normal trend down, 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 and then it kind of plateaued. It's kind of leveled off now, and it's turning, like it looks like it might be turning up.
All right, we'll take a look at that. I'm just getting all this down in the system so we have it here. Running this live. All right, so yeah, okay, we'll put that on there. Any more?
No, just those.
Just those. So we're going to try to bring, this is, we just added one, two, we added five, and one, two, three, four, five. Eight are coming off.
Yeah, well, we're trying to balance it here a little bit.
And by the way, when you look on the site and you want to look at what positions are open, there's another tab there that says closed. You could click on that and shows you the top, I think, last 10 positions that we had that closed. So you can kind of get a rundown of what's going on with these positions. So go over to DH Unplugged, check out the weekly stock picks, click on the various tabs, shows you also the performance of the S&P 500 and gold and oil and all sorts of other things that are currently important for the market, so you can get a read on what's going on as well. So it's a cool little page there on DH Unplugged.
It's outstanding.
Outstanding work. Outstanding work. Anything else that we have to talk about? Did we miss anything? Let me kind of go through the list again, because
we do have my column coming up.
Oh, yeah. What is that? Yes. By the way, what is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
The next column will be about the Apple Car.
The Apple Car that will be happening, or the Apple Car that won't be happening?
I think it's going to be happening, but, you know, maybe they have time to kill it. I think they should do that. But I've concluded that it has to be like a mid-sized car, because logically, the only way they're going to sell it, they're going to have to put this car in the Apple stores.
Oh, God.
Don't you think? Oh,
I suppose.
So in the back of the store, there'll be an Apple Car, maybe on a thing, you know, a Lazy Susan spinning around.
Yeah. Just take out one of the tables.
That will get everybody back into the store.
Hmm.
If Apple released a car and it was in the local store, the Apple store, would you go and look at it?
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah, it'd bring me in. And they got the room now. And you'd have to order it, be delivered. Yeah. You could order it on your watch or something.
You get a discount if you can manage to order it on your watch.
That'd be kind of cool. Some of these Apple stores are small, though. I mean, aren't they? I mean, I'm thinking about the one in this mall right by me is kind of narrow. It's got maybe seven tables. Maybe they could take out one of the tables that people just
Well, they're going to have to take some tables out, but most of these stores are big enough to hold a mid-sized car.
So your thesis is based on the fact that it would be really good to put in the store to promote, but it can't be too big. So it can't be like an SUV that would overwhelm a store.
No, it can't be as big as an S. I'm thinking it'd be the size of a Chevy Volt, a 3 Series BMW, or that RE Series from Lexus. That's kind of a size that's almost ideal for a store.
So they're not building the optimal car for people that would be used as a marketing tool. They're building the optimal car size due to constraints at their stores.
That's the theory, yeah.
Okay. All right. Stranger things have happened.
Well, they got to have a place to show the car, and the store seems like the logical place. And every time I go to an Apple store nowadays, I think the place is not as busy as it used to be. There's too many tables with the same products on them.
Yeah. I agree.
Take those tables in the back, pull them out, put a car.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll see what happens with that. Sounds kind of interesting. Well, follow John Dvorak on Twitter at TheRealDvorak. Myself, Andrew Horowitz. Let's see if we can boost that by another 4,000 next week. That'd be very nice. And, of course, listen to the Disciplined Investor podcast, which each and every week comes out with some very exciting and informative information on markets, and a little bit different than this format. We go into some depth about some of the economics, very in-depth, and talk with some guests about various things. You could also, of course, listen to the fabulous and ever-famous No Agenda show with John Dvorak and Adam Curry, and hear all of the conspiracy theories and all of the interesting and you want to get more in depth into the news and really find out what's going on, that's the show to listen to. Forget about MSNBC, forget about CNBC, forget about Fox News. They have nothing on No Agenda. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so great show. All right, until next week.
Okay, talk to you then.
All right, bye-bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.